got you, Mom. Go. Jane, 0TR. No joy, Mom. I'll listen for you. Jane, 0TR.
Now.
I got you, 5x5. You're coming in good now, Mom.
I placed the coax on my antenna.
Oh?
Yeah, roger, roger.
Are you still running that nice vertical on your home station?
I'm one I've had up for, I don't know, many years with LMR 400.
Uptown as you can get. Yeah, I had a real nice conversation with Bill this morning for quite a while. He went and got his ears lowered and then was headed back. And, oh, we primarily were talking about repair parts and stuff for power supplies. He's been rejuvenating a triplet. That's probably older than you're accustomed to, but triplet, I think it was. I had one at one time, and when I blowed that 35-amp Astron the other day, I had a spare 35-amp one, so I stuck it in there until I fixed the other one. But, you know me, I like those linears. Now, on my solid-state amp, it has a switch mode, and I got to tell you, knock on wood, literally, it's been great.
I'm highly copying you, Tom. I'm sure I got a coax problem. This is where my coax comes into the truck.
You got some, what, you just use 58 on that, Bob? Well, buddy, you take care. It's send your OTR.
I can hear you later on, Tom. I'll be in the shack in a little while. I'm getting away from the power lines, but I think I got a coax pinch.
Yeah, I understand under the power lines, but that time you was full quieting, Bob.
Well, it can be, but again, I'm driving down a road here that's lined with power lines, so it could be both.
Well, when you get home, take the microphone out and pull the antenna down, put your tongue on it, and transmit and see if it's working. Well, just pull that mag mount antenna off and touch it to your tongue and transmit it 50 watts and see if it's working.
You other than just static, so I'll maybe give you a call later when I get home. And 0TR, ND 78.
Nobody should be serious about that. Okay, Bob. Talk to you later. N0TR.
N0TR, KO4, NUE.
Now, there's a guy about that level. You try that on yours, Chad.
Well, what I was going to say, hey, it works. If it makes one eye close, you're about 15 amps. I mean, about 15 watts. If both eyes close, then you're at full power. if it stops you breathing, your SWR is too high. So I got it all figured out, bud.
One thing about it, you got to be careful. When you do that, you have a tendency to clamp down on it and suck all the electrons out of that antenna and it won't be good anymore.
Back up in my radio.
Every hole flow as well as electron flow, you know.
Ain't right, boy. You ain't right. What you up to today?
You've been listening to Bob too much. That's what he always says. You just ain't right, Tom. And I'd have to give a QSL to that. Well, I'm starting to get a few leg cramps here. I've been sitting here jawing too long. Had a terrible, terrible sinus headache last night. Haven't had one of those since I was a kid. And, man, it was a 10, Chad. But I'm still a little bit stunned this morning. But that's my normal operating procedure in 0TR.
I've been dealing with bobcats all morning. I hadn't got one of them straightened out yet. I got the other one straightened out, but my gosh, covered in diesel fuel, just mercy.
They use on those, Chad, hydraulic proportioning valves, like 0 to 60 mils or something.
Most of the valves are solenoid controlled. They open or close if certain conditions are met. You know, if the gate's not closed, then, you know, you're not going to move. If the seat doesn't register somebody in the seat, then, you know, it won't move. If the seat belt's not buckled, then you can't control the bucket. I mean, it's just, it's a nightmare. But once you learn kind of what's going on and where to go with them, you can do pretty good with it. But I got one that's just giving me a fit. I have never encountered a problem like that before. And I don't exactly know what I'm going to do about it yet. I might think about it.
Curious. I used to, you know, ride on and use what we call a Condor, and they call them, nowadays they're mostly JLGs and things like that. And they use a potentiometer on the joystick for each one that you operate a hydraulic valve with. But it's a proportioning valve, and you can actually measure the 0 to 60 mils on them. Now, times have probably changed, but if you open and close a valve just with a solenoid, yeah, that's either on or off, and that would make whatever it's running go full on or full off. And just a question, don't, like, if you're lifting the bucket, don't you have a linear control on that? In other words, proportionally going from low to fast, or does it just lift at the same speed every time?
Depends on the model, Tom. The 763s and below, they have foot controls for the bucket. Left foot, you push it forward, you know, like a gas pedal. But the fulcrum is in the center of the pedal. So the tilt bucket is proportional by how much you push the foot pedal. Sometimes they'll stick, especially the right one, which raises the crab on it. And sometimes they'll stick, and it's either full on or full off. But, you know, you service them and keep the gunk out of it, they'll be all right. But it just, the winter times, just, how grease gets stiff, and I've just been fighting the thing. Finally got it straightened out. Now I'm getting ready to move on to the other one. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it or where to even start on it.
That's interesting. What I was going to say is, Chad, those old Condors, they had up on the joystick, you know, you're out there, it would lift me up to 60 feet. And on the joystick, they had a... you would call it a rheostat probably, but you probably know the difference. It was a potentiometer, and that run the proportioning valves, and you could actually put a digital milliamp meter in series with that and see that pot was working in a linear fashion. And they get dead spots in them is what I'm getting at. And sometimes if you just replace that potentiometer, and I got lots of those of various values from 0 to 100,000 ohms, I'm sure, if you ever need one, and they were 2 watts. So for a potentiometer, you don't see many of those on a circuit board that are 2 watts or small ones, but these are pretty good size, about an inch in diameter. So if you ever have need for one of those in a hurry, I'll give it to you.
But these things don't run any kind of pots or rheostats on them. And I think the difference between a potentiometer and a rheostat is how it's wired in. But you know, I'm not an electrical guy that much. But at any rate, the other one is, got a hydraulic control on it where you put the hydrostat fluid, and charge pump activates, it pumps all of the fluid out of the reservoir into the gear case. And I mean, it dumps it in a hurry. And that hydrostat fluid is $83 for 2.5 gallons. I don't know what to think about this one. It's just something's blown somewhere, and it's throwing it right into the gear case. But just an awful mess.
Well, it could be a check valve.
Out yesterday, and it was stuck. There's three more in it, and one of them's down in the gear case. So I'm gonna have to get it to the shop so I can get to it. I can't get to it in the field. But I got about 25 seconds to get it on the trailer. And after that, it's 2.5 more gallons. I'm gonna have to be quick.
Where does it dump that fluid to when it does that, Chad? Can't you recover it?
I don't want to, because it's so nasty. So it's dumping hydrostat into the gear case, which has got and it's actually a chain case. It's a big chain and drives the wheels on it in the case. And what's happening is that it fills the cavity up. It fills it up under pressure, and it just blows and sprays hydraulic and gear oil everywhere. I mean, it's just, man, it's just a mess.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, and the viscosity is probably going to be mobile gear 629 or 90 weight gear oil or something. You're mixing it with that hydraulic fluid or hydrostatic fluid. Or you'll have to buy you about a dozen t-shirts.
I got my boots. I gotta trying to get to the house, get my boots off, get all of it changed so it's not on my skin too long. But it's just nasty. It's nasty work. It's cold too. My fingers are cold. I mean, I don't want to complain, but I'm not happy.
Yeah, I stayed out in the cold too long last night talking to my neighbor, and I had a mask on, and I pulled it down because, heck, it was 51 degrees, and I didn't think that was too cold, but our doctor, from what I gleaned from Bernice this morning, doesn't want people with congestive heart failure out breathing air below 40, but that's what got my sinuses, I think, last night, but I did enjoy talking with him. He was having second thoughts about going to the boat show tomorrow because there's so many people crowded together. It's kind of like going to a gun show right now. And I don't blame him in the least. And he's been vaccinated, but this Omicron stuff, he said his neighbor or his co-worker at work got the Omicron the other day, and he's in his early 50s. And he said it was 10 times worse than the flu for him. It varies per individual, I know. But even though they're playing it down, that was one case that it definitely hit him hard. Tim said, he's tough. And he said, boy, Tom, he said he was off work for 10 days with that stuff. But at any rate, you be careful out there, buddy. One thing about it, you get it all over your feet and your boots. You don't have to use your skateboard to go down to the mailbox anymore.
Exactly right. I may have ruined my boots. I don't know. I just have to figure out how to get all that out because it's going to bleed through my socks. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do about that, but I'll have to get my rubber boots on to get it on the trailer, I guess.
I'd recommend, here's your tip of the day. Just pour about a quart of methyl ethyl ketone in there, MEK, and shake it around a little bit. It'll get all that grease out of there instantaneously. Now, on the other hand, you may not have any boots left.
Dumping out of the frying pan into the fire, ain't it?
Or out of the back of a C-130 without a parachute.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on the ketone. That's some pretty bad stuff.
Getting that over in the terminal section one day, and I was working on a small crane, and I was only up about, 15 feet in the air, and I started getting woozy. And they were forbidden to use that stuff in the tire molds anymore because they'd had guys get highly intoxicated from it. You know, make your liver look like a cabbage patch doll. You don't want to breathe it. It evaporates extremely quick. But boy, if you got something you want to get off, it works good.
We used it there to chop on the electrical stuff. And we had a dispenser.
For now, buddy, you have a good day and a safe day, and disregard that last tip of the day. We're the one on the antenna. Talk to you later. Come and see us in KO4NUE and 0TR73.
This is KO4EYV. Can you give me a radio check real quick, sir?
UBI, KO4UBI, this is N0TR. My name's Tom. I'm in Greer, and your signal is about half audio and half static, so I would give you about a 5x5 on HF, if that gives you any idea, but you are understandable.
Thank you, sir. My suffix is Echo Yankee Victor. Appreciate that. Trying to get the 5/8 wave, ground plane collinear going. The calculator said to do it about 4 feet, so I threw it up in the air. I did it with the copper wire, so there's no integrity in the wire. I just threw it up here with a little bit of mason line, just trying to see if I can make it in somewhere.
A little bit last time, but I'd have to say it's still pretty poor, so you need to do some more improving there.
I think I made them a little bit, trim them down, so hopefully I can do a couple adjustments to get this thing better. Appreciate it so much. I hope you have a wonderful day there. KO4EYV, I'm going to go back to work on this thing.
I got it right. It's David in Whitmer, South Carolina. And I'm from Kansas, so we're a little slow. Where's Whitmire, South Carolina at, David?
Whitmire's northern Newberry County, up there on the top tip. If you go a mile outside of town, you're in Union County. If you go a mile outside of town the other way, you're in Lawrence County. We're right here on the top tip. One of the benefits is we can hit the Midlands pretty good with ham radio, and we can hit the upstate pretty good. So it makes us a valuable spot there for Aries and such.
QSL, I'd say that's affirmative. You look like you're north of Newberry, David, and you're 50.6 miles at bearing 134 degrees from me. Nice to hear you this morning. You were understandable, but for where you're at, I'd say it's almost acceptable unless you can add some more wattage to it. Might help. And I don't know how many watts you're running, David. Over.
I'm pushing best of 50 now, and I think that's about all I've got on any of my rigs. So I might need some more height. We're just trying to get stuff ready. Going to try to play around on a winter field day. Needed something a little bit better on the simplex end, and the big internet box said that 5/8 wave might do a little bit better with the simplex. So I was going to try that. I got a quarter wave that does pretty decent. But like I say, just trying to make a little larger and get on out.
Roger. Well, I think you're doing okay, David. And you definitely can make this repeater as long as the conditions are fairly good. I don't know. If it got a little worse, you'd probably be better off if you had a beam. I like that AR-270. I think it's a Kooscraft. Or the 13B2. It's a real good antenna. It's a beam. And I used to have those when I was up in Kansas. But I'm pretty old now, and I don't have a tower, David. I do mostly HF and mostly CW with some sideband. But you're coming along fine, David. You take care and have a good day, sir. KO4, Echo Yankee Victor in 0TR73.
Coming back to me. Hope you enjoy your day, and I might be back on a little later on and try to trim this thing up. And got a couple more things to straighten up before Saturday. But you enjoy it. Stay warm. KO4 UYV, clear in the month.